Okay, both things are moving. Okay, we are on Chaf Vav and Mabez. Again, it's the final day, at least for this cycle of Seder Moed, Maseches Chagiga. But I look forward to anyone who can join us on Sunday morning. It's at again the Kol Yom Rishon program. 9:30 is the first year, and I'm giving the second year at 10:30. Shirin Yanim of Talmud Torah, which will flow into the Siyum. It's at my year is at 10:30 this year. We're in First Hall, room 501, the top floor of First Hall, in the YU Washington Heights campus. Okay, let us now do what's on the table right now, though. The Tapokli, we're up to about the fifth line of the Gemara on Chav Vav Mabes. The Gemara just said that the Mishnah had said that on Yontif, after Yontif, they had to be matbil, they had to make tahar all of the kalim of the Beis Hamikdash because of the Ameh Haaretz and all the Klal Yisrael who were in the Beis Hamikdash at the time. But the leaders in the Beis Hamikdash had warned the Kohanim or others there not to touch the Shulchan. Because if you touch the shulchan, so then that's going to make it tameh, and you can't move the shulchan. So we mentioned, I ran through it yesterday, just to mention one other point. The Rashi and Tosfos and others all say that who was this said to? It was said to the Kohanim who were going in l'shtachavos, because they seem to hold that a Kohen is allowed to go in to be mishtachava. That's not called a bia reikanis, and therefore that's who was being talked to. If you look at the Rambam, though, in Hilchas Betami Mishkan v'Moshav, the Rambam seems to say that this was said to the Yisraelim. To the Yisraelim, don't touch it when they lift it up. We'll see in a minute that there was a time that they lifted up the shulchan to show everybody the shulchan. So that's what they warned them. When they lifted it up, don't touch it. Which the Mishnah Malach seems to say is a machlokes between Rambam and Tosfos, whether when they lifted it up, did they just lift it up where it was, in the Heichal, and everybody peeked in? That's what Tosfos seems to say in the Rashi, because the whole they were still speaking to the Kohanim, even though they lifted it up. According to the Rambam, the Hagbah, which we're going to talk about in a minute, was really done. They took it outside the Heichal in order to show everybody the Lechem Aponim. So the Mishnah Balak points out that that seems to be a machlokas between the Rambam and Tosfos. How did we understand what they did, which we'll learn in a minute, when they showed everybody the Lechem Aponim? But the Nafkamina is who they warn. Who they warned, Shalat Tigu B'Shulchan, was it the Kohanim going in, because only the Kohanim went into the Heichal, or was it Bnei Yisrael? Okay, so then the Gemara went into that there is a day in the Braisa that says not only do they warn about the Shulchan, they also warned about the Menorah. Why would one say only about the Shulchan? Because our Mishnah holds that it says Tamid, and the Lechem Aponim have to be there, Lefanai Tamid, which by the way, it's a machlokas tanoim in Masechet Menachos. What does tamid mean? Does it mean every second, mamish, or does it mean once a day? And you know, and that's enough to be called tamid, right? The tamid shel shacha, the carbon tamid, wasn't brought every second of the day. It was brought once in the morning and once in the afternoon. That's called tamid. So there's a machlokas there. How did they even switch the lechem aponim every Shabbos? We know the Shabbos, the lechem aponim was switched. So one sheet that says that tamid means, no, you take off the previous weeks and you put on the next week sometime before Shkia. Sometime today, put it on. That's called tamid. But the other shita, which I think we paskin like, the Rambam quotes it, and that is, a number of Kohanim went in at the same time. A number of them took off the old bread, and at the same time, the other Kohanim pushed the new bread onto the Shulchan at the same moment. Because Tamid has to be mamish every second of the day. So that's the machlokes about what it means by Tamid by the Shulchan. But the Gemara here seems to say, it does say Tamid on some level, so therefore, one has to be makbid that it is never moved. So Shulchan Dechsiv Beit Tamid. It also comes up regarding Talmud Torah, which we'll get to Beis Hashem if we talk about it on Sunday morning. By the way, those of you who can't be at the Siyum or the Shir, feel free to listen to it. I think they're all online. Call yomrishon.org and .org. And at the end, you'll be able to be sorry for the Siyum as well whenever they put it up. Okay, the Idach, but now let's go back to the fourth line of the Gemara. The Idach, what about the Braisa? If it only says Tamid by the Shulchan, what does the Braisa do? The Idach, Kibin Dechsev Es HaMenorah Nochach HaShulchan, since it says the Menorah should be next to the Shulchan, opposite the Shulchan, Kiman Dechsev Beit Tamidavi. So it's as if it says Tamid next to the Menorah as well. It's not just telling you where to put it, but it's telling you a conceptual connection between them that tamid should exist by both the menorah and the shulchan. The idach hahu l'gvoa l'makom hudasa. No, our Mishnah says no. That's just to tell you where it's supposed to be, but not that it is it is somehow connected, right? We know there's three special kelim in the Heichal, the menorah, the shulchan, and the mizbeach hazahav, the little mizbeach. So those, that's there's a connection between, obviously they're all inside. The question is there a mahuti connection between them? Okay, that's where we're up to. Says the Gemara, v'tapically, ask the Gemara, why do I need a makar to teach? Why don't the Mishnah teaches me that you have to announce, don't touch the shulchan? So what, even if they did touch the shulchan, you know what? It wouldn't become tamei anyway. Why? V'tapically, the kli eitz ha'asui l'nachasu. It's made out of wood, and it's made out of wood. A wooden kli ha'asui l'nachas, that's made not to be moved. Ha'asui l'nachas, it's made to be stationary. V'chol kli eitz ha'asui l'nachas lo matama. And we know that any wooden kli that's made not to be moved cannot contract tumma. My taima, what's the reason for this? Dumi the sock ba'inan. Because it has to be similar to a kli of sock of material. As Rashi quotes, the Rashi dumi the sock ba'inan, lenyan tumma hukshu kli eitz the sock. Any wooden kli is compared to any garment kli in the pasuk. The siv kolasha yipol alav mehem b'mosam yitma. Any insect that falls on any kli after the insect has just died could be batami, it'd be called kli eitz, o baget, or o socks. You see, all those kalim in the pasuk are connected to each other, are compared, and therefore, we say just like, as the Gemara is going to explain in right now, masak mitaltam ole berekam, just like a kli made out of sock, out of material, can be moved even when it is full, or when it is empty. Av kol mitaltam ole berekam, so too, any kli that could be moved when it is full or empty can become tame. But anything else, anything that cannot be moved, sometimes you can move kelim when they're empty. You can move a bookcase when it's empty. You could set it up. But once the bookcase is full of svarim, so then you can't move it. It's too heavy. So a bookcase is like this, cannot become tame, right? Because a bookcase is made out of wood, most bookcases, and it's, besides, if you nail it into the ground, it's b'chubal karka. But even without that, you know, it's can't be metaltam oliver reikam. So ask the Gemara, what do we have to make a big fuss in the Mishnah about warning them not to touch it because it's going to become tame, but it's a wooden kli, and it can't be moved when it is full. It's too heavy, so therefore, it shouldn't be able to become tame anyway. Answers the Gemara, no, that's not true. The Metzius is not true. Hainami mitaltem olei v'reikam hu. No, the Shulchan can be moved, because it can be moved, and it is moved once a year. It can be moved, so therefore, it can become tame, and that's why you have to warn them in the Mishnah. Kid the Reish Lakish. When is it moved? The following. Like Reish Lakish says, to Amar Reish Lakish, my dechsev al ha-shulchan ha-tahor. What does it mean in the Pasuk? That you should put the lechem upon him. This week's parsha. Al shulchan tahor on the. It's a good thing you can say on Shabbos right here. This is Dvar Torah. Al shulchan tahor on the tahor shulchan mechal shu tami. What do you mean the tahor shulchan? It's the shulchan. If it can't become tami, why do you call it the tahor shulchan? The thing that always is tahor? No, that it wouldn't be called tahor. It would just be mufka from tum and tara. So mechal shu tami. It sounds like it can become tami. V'yamai asks the Reish Lakish the same question our Gemara just asked. Kli eitz hasel anachasu ve'enom makabel tuma. But it's a kli eitz that's made to be stationary, not to be moved, and it can't become Tamei Elamalami. Reish Lakish says, you know what this teaches me? Shemagbiyan oso, that a few times a year they lifted up the shulchan, umarin bo loli regalim lechem upon him, and they showed the lechem upon him to the oli regalim, va'omrim lahem ruuchi baschem lefnei amakom siyuluko kisiduro. Look how much Hashem loves you, because we know the lechem upon him was put on a week before, and it was just as fresh and just as hot as it was when they took it off, as it was when they put it on. That shows Hashem's love for you. Ruuchi baschem lefnei amakom, and that's what they lifted it up to show everybody. That's what we just referred to. The machlokes between the Rambam and Tosfos seems to be: did they just lift it up in the heichal up, so everybody could see them? That's what Tosfos seems to say, and that's why Tosfos says the pshat of the Mishnah is that they only warned the Kohanim not to touch it, because Yisraelim warned in the Heichal. They weren't allowed to go into the Heichal. Mashiach, according to the Rambam says, no, they warned everybody. Because it seems like from the Rambam, says the Mishnah Lomelech, that they brought it outside the Heichal, and they lifted it up. So it would be easier. In the Heichal, it's very difficult to see. You have to see exactly next to the Mizbeach. Mizbeach HaChitzon covers up part of the Pesach of the Heichal anyway. So you got to see just the side through the door. It would be difficult for all of Klal Yisrael to see that. So some of they took it outside, says the Rambam. So why did they do that? To show Hashem's love for Klal Yisrael. And that's how you know it was a movable kli. Dom Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Neis Gadol Nasab Lechem upon him. Yeshua ben Levi says there was a great miracle that happened with Lechem upon him. Kesiduro Kach Siluko. As they set it up, it was hot and fresh. Kach Siluko. So too when they took it off. Shedemar based on a pasuk by Shmuel in Shmuel Aleph. By David HaMelech, Lasum Lechem Chok Bayom Biyom Yilacho. Right, so to put lechem chom, hot bread, Kiyom biyom hilacho, on the day of its taking, it's the same as the day that it was put there. Many of the Achronim ask, why is it? We know there were many miracles in the Beis HaMikdash. So why dafka was this miracle chosen to show them on Ola Regel? You know, there were many miracles that could have. The Ner Maravi was always lit. We mentioned that yesterday from Tosfos. That was also a miracle. So why dafka did this miracle of the Lechem Apanim show HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for them? So so one of the pshatim given is that Klal Yisrael were just Ola Regel. And it says at the end of Parshas Kisisa that it takes a lot of bitacho and mesiras nefesh to be Ola Regel. They didn't have locks on their houses in those days. Everybody knew that you were gone for a week. All of your neighbors knew. And it was difficult. It took a certain level of bitachon. So you were just hoping that everything would be there when you got back. But that was a promise HaKadosh Baruch Hu made. In the end of Parshas Kisisa, it says that, you know, don't worry about it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to protect exactly as you left it. It's going to be there when you get back. That's the Lechem Apanim. The Lechem Apanim, exactly what you put on. Right, this dafka, they did this by Alila Regel. Dafka, exactly when it was put on, it looks the same, it smells the same, it feels the same. It's the same freshness. So too, when you go back home, you're gonna have that same, freshness. Right? The Medrash even says that Kadosh Baruch, the story of Kadosh Baruch Hu even sent Malachim to look at like people going in and out of the Jews' houses, so that the Amei Ha'aretz that was still around there, they were waiting. They knew about this Alila Regel business. They said, okay, we're gonna wait till the Jews go, and the Jews went, and they looked like people were still there. And then they came back and they said, oh, what happened? They said the trip was great. And the Umos all said, what do you mean? You never left. You were going in and out of the house the whole week. So they said, no, we didn't. And they realized that Kadosh Baruch Hu sent Malachim looking like them going in and out of the house. So they didn't realize that they were gone. The Medrash says this on the Pasuk there. The Netziv even says on that Pasuk, he refers to it in that Pasuk, that the Hashem Dafka in that context, when Bnei Yisrael go to be Ola Regel, it says, Lefnei Ha'adon Hashem. Go be on the regular in front of Adon, your master. Dafka there, Kadosh Baruch Hu is called a master because that symbolizes his control and the fact that he is in charge of all the events that happen anywhere in the world. So that's the pshat of, I have gave it to you from Reb Elio Gutmacher. Quotes that from the Lechem Apan. The Ravaz has a tshuva. In Chelek Vav Shnei Alafim Kuf Ayin Ches, where he was asked, how could you see, if let's say according to Tosis, that they lifted it up and they had to, and they showed everybody. How could you see from afar that it was still hot? When you see a bread from a few, even from 3 feet away, you can't tell. If you feel it, you can tell if it's hot. So how did they feel it was hot? The kashalacha, Hari Yisrael lo hayu nechnasin afilu bein ulam lamizbeach. But Yisrael didn't even go in between ulam lamizbeach. Right? We know that there were different levels. The Mishnayos and Kalim in the first parak discuss the 10 levels of kedusha, going from the most chomer, the kodesh kadashim, the heichal, the ulam, which was the entranceway into the heichal, and then bein haulam v'lamizbeach, between the mizbeach achitzon and the ulam, and then next to the mizbeach achitzon, and then the mizbeach, then the between the mizbeach achitzon and the door of the azara, that was another area, Ezra's Kohanim, and then you have Ezra's Yisrael, it goes all the way back. So ask the Radvaz, they never even went on the other side of the mizbeach where the kiyar was. So how can you even tell if it was hot? So he says pashut. He says, you know what it must be? When something is very hot, you see steam coming out of it. Must have had steam coming out of it. That's the only way you could have been able to see it. Tshuva, amru mishmo shel haritva, shehaya ola hevel mehalechem, ubazeh hayimakir shehu cham. He says, though, I'm not sure, but adayin lo yadanu, if this was a constant nace or just a nace that happened on Aliyah Regel. Only at the time that they had to show everybody, or it happened every week. Meaning when they took it off, fine, it was fresh. The Kohanim took it off every week. It was fresh, but was it hot? Was it warm? Or just stayed fresh? And did it become stale? That's what he's not sure about. Bishlo basho yecham, hayetzor sorech, kadeh shi yishadu ha'okle b'lechem cham. Avo sheyala heva alama. Did steam come out of it always? And then he says, I really never even saw steam coming out of bread when it's hot. Maybe when it's in the oven, but when you take it out, shalo ra'isi miyamai ola hevel mehalechem afilu tshucham. It's not soup. Soup, liquid, has steam coming out of it. But bread, and he says that's his discussion here. He says maybe hakol haya bechlal hanes. It was also part of the nes that it had steam, even though usually solids don't have steam. Tosfos says what?
Tosfos says that
chom biyom dafka. Chom lo haya. Okay, so that's right, because it was for the previous week. Again, the pashtus is that It was hot. Also, so one of the other Achronim in Lamgolias Hashas, I forgot to bring it today, quotes another reason why. How do you know that this Nei Stavka shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us? So one, we have the Pshat again. This is Shabbos material right here, this week's Parsha. Shabbos material. How do you know it was why Dafka this Nei? Because it's a remez to Alil Rego. There's another Pshat al Derech Drush, and that is the Gemara in Yuma on Daf Ayin Vav asked the question, Shaul Talmidav asked Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, also in Yonah Diyoma. Right, the Talmidei Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai ask him, why didn't the man just fall once a year? When did the man fall once a year? Why did it have to fall every day? Wouldn't it be easier for HaKadosh Baruch Hu just to give the man once a year and then we'll save it? And the nace could have been that it didn't spoil. Right, Dafka had to say, give a nace that it fell every day. So the Gemara gives two answers. Answer number one, Emzal Chamashol, Madar Adom, Elamalach Pasav Adam, Shaya Lo Ben Echad, a king that has an only son. Pasak lo mezonosa b'machas bashana. Let's say the king gives him an allowance once a year. Here's $1 million. Enjoy. V'lo hayamach lo p'nei aviv v'lo p'machas bashana. So the child's never going to come. Say hello to his father. Thanks, Dad. And that's it. But upasak mezonosa b'chol yom. But if he gives him only enough money for that day, he's going to have to come back every day. He's going to have to say hello to his father every day. Af Yisrael, so to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mi sheish lo abar v'cha isha banim, ha'yidoi gomer shem lo yirid mon lo machar. Also, Klai Yisrael, every family has a bunch of kids. Every day they're going to be worried. What's going to happen? Am I going to have enough food for tomorrow? Imagine every night going to sleep knowing that you have nothing in your house. You're in the middle of the desert. You have nothing. And only if HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it the month fall from Shemaim tomorrow morning. You know, every morning they look out the window. Is it there again? It's not natural. So it's that was the nais. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would rather have that, the relationship every day. That's what that's answer number one. Answer number two is Davar Acher, Shohaya Ochlin Oso Kshuhu Cham. He wanted to give it to them every day so they could eat it when it was hot. That's the second answer. So ask the one of the Achronim, what do you mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have made the nais that it could stay hot though, let it fall once a year, and it'll stay hot the whole year. They Dafka, only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to make sure it's hot so it falls every day. That's a major kasha on the second answer. So one of the Achronim say, oh, so that shows that really the first answer is correct. The really true answer. Because the first answer, what do you mean? The second, Hashem wants it to be hot? What does the nace of the Lechem upon him show when they lifted it up? It shows that really HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have done a nace to keep it hot for a long time. But he didn't. So, but in the case of the man, he didn't. Hooray that the first answer is the correct answer. What's the first answer? Hashem loves us. He wants to see us every single day. That's the Ruchi Baschem Lefnei HaMakom. That's what the Neis, the Dafka picked it up to show that the real reason why the man fell every day was not because that he, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it hot, because you see, it could have been, could have lasted being hot. What, a week and a year is a difference? So therefore, that shows the first answer is correct, and that shows HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love for us. Okay, let's continue. Says the Gemara, v'tepikli mishum sipui. So fine, I answered that it is a movable kli, and therefore it can become tamei, and that's why the Amei Aris rewards not to touch it in the Beis HaMikdash. But now the Gemara asks another question. Why do I have to worry? I just explained that it is able to be makabel tuma because it's movable. There's another reason why it should have been able to be makabel tuma. Why? V'tepikli mishum tzipui. Even if it would be not movable, you should have said that it could have become a makabel tuma because of the plating on it. It was covered in gold. D'hatnan hashulchan v'hadulfiki. The Mishnah says in Kalim, the table and the chair shenifchasu, if part of them broke off, o shechipad b'shayish, or is covered in marble. Marble would make it not makabel tuma. V'shir b'hem makam anachas kosas tamei. As long as you left enough space that's not plated, that still has the original material of the kli that could fit a cup onto it, that's enough to make it tamei. Rabbi Yehuda omer makam anachas achatichos. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, you have to leave enough space for a plate, not just a cup. But you see from there that the plating is significant. And if it had been totally covered with shayish, it would be tahar. So you see the plating really redefines the kli. So if the plating redefines the kli, so to here. So what that it's a wooden kli, and a wooden kli that's not movable cannot become tameh, but the plating, it was gold, it was a type of metal. And metal kalim, Rashi explains, metal kalim are not compared to sock in the pasuk. And therefore a metal kli, even if it's not movable, is able to become tameh. So why the Gemara have to go to great lengths to explain, based on the nace, that this kli is movable, even if it wouldn't be movable? Shouldn't this be called a metal kli? kli based on the plating? So the Gemara answers, v'chi tema shayni asei shita dechashivi v'lo batli. And if you want to say no, the case of the shulchan, that would be a different case. Its plating wouldn't be significant because the wood that it was made of was asei shitim. Asei shitim is a significant special type of wood, and the plating wouldn't have been mevatel the material. So the Gemara says that works according to one shita and not the other. Hani chal reish lakish, this works according to reish lakish, who has such a distinction. De amar lo shon ela bechli ak silgim haban mi medinas hayam. When do you say the plating is redefined as bavatal the material only by a kli made of aksilgim, which is a not chashuv material that comes from medinas hayam? Avo bekli mismim lo batli shapir, but by kli mismim, which is a chashuv type of material, it's not bottled to the plating, so therefore shapir, that would be a good defense for the shulchan. El le Rabbi Yochanan to amar. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says afilu b'kli mispem nami batli ma'ikel ameimar, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that even by chashuv material, the plating redefines the kli. So then we're back to our question again. What's the question? Why did the Gemara have to go to great lengths to explain that the shulchan was movable, and that's why it could become tameh? Even if it wasn't movable, it's plated with metal, with gold, and therefore it should be called a metal kli. And therefore, that's why it can become tameh, because it's a metal kli, even if it's not movable. Another try. And if you want to say, well, the tzipui, the plating on the shulchan, wasn't specifically nailed in or attached to it. It was just covered over. So maybe that type of tzipui, that type of covering, does not redefine and make the material batel. The Gemara says that doesn't work because we know there's no chilek. Habai minei Reish Lakish mirabi Yochanan b'tzipui omeid o b'tzipui she'ena omeid. Do you only say this, that the tzipui redefines the kli by tzipui omeid that's permanently there, or ena omeid? Or b'chofe es levizvizav o b'she'ena chofe es levizvizav? Only if the plating covers the rim, goes all up and covers the rim of the kli or not? The Amar Leh, and Rabbi Yochanan answered, his Talmud Reish Lakish, lo shna b'tzipa, and his brother-in-law, lo shna b'tzipa omeid, lo b'shna b'shipi she'ena omeid, lo shna b'chobes levizvizav, lo shna b'edesh ochobes levizvizav. Doesn't make a difference, answered Rabbi Yochanan. So again, it doesn't make a difference, so we're back to our kasha. The plating should be mevatel, the eights, inside, and we should say that it is mekabel toma, even if it's not movable. Answers the Gemara, final answer, Ella shiny shulchan derachmana karya eitz. No, the shulchan is different because the Torah, the Rachmana karya eitz, the Rachmana calls this a wooden kli. The chsev, as we quote a pasuk in Yechezkel, we find a number of places in Shas where the Gemara says Rachmana, the Torah calls it, and you quote a pasuk from Navi. Sometimes the Gemara will even say Daraisa ninu, Daraisa ninu. The Gemara in Ksubis says Daraisa ninu by one of the makoros of Ksubis Ban and Dichrin and related halachas. So sometimes you find that all of Tanakh has a certain chashivas. The Ksiv, as the pasuk says in Yechezkel, describing, obviously the Yechezkel is all about the structure of the third base of Migdash. Hamizbeach eitz shlosh amos kavoa va'arko shtayim amos u'miksa osav lo va'arko v'kirosav eitz. So you see, it's called eitz. So even though it is covered, we call it eitz, and that's why you treat it like a kli eitz. Period. End of that pasuk. Derech Agav, that phrase, Vayedaber Elai Zeh HaShulchan Asher Lefnei Hashem, the Shloach HaKadosh, first of all, it's in Pirkei Avos. The Pirkei Avos quotes that if you say Divrei Torah at a table, at your meal, you fulfill that pasuk. It's Kilu Achlu Mizev HaShchin, right? Nana Misuda with Tamid HaChacham and the Shechina, based on that pasuk. Vayedaber Elai Zeh HaShulchan Asher Lefnei Hashem. And also the Shloach HaKadosh quotes that whenever you set the table for Shabbos or Yantif, it's a nice kiyum as he set the table to say that pasuk. It's quoted by the Seder. I think it applies to any Sudas Mitzvah. Period. Next, once we quoted this pasuk, we're going to darshan it a little bit. Pasach b'mizveach v'siyim b'shulchan. The pasuk starts off mentioning the mizveach, and then it ends up talking about the shulchan. Right, in the last phrase, Rabbi Yochanan of Reish Lakish, Dami Shravayu, Rabbi Yochanan of Reish Lakish, even though they were just arguing, so now they come together and say, the drash, we spoke about this at Shalosh Shudas a couple of weeks ago, Bizman Shabbos HaMikdash Kaya Mizbeach B'chaper Al Adam, when we have a Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbeach is B'chaper with its Karbanos, Achshav Shulchanu Shal Adam B'chaper Olav. But nowadays we don't have a Mizbeach, so the person's table, the Shulchan of the Mizbeach, is B'chaper on him. So there's a number of things to talk about on this line of the Gemara. First of all, Rashi quotes, what do you mean the Shulchan? So Rashi quotes, Achnasas Arachim. Achrasas Archim, that's what's Mechaper. Tosfos also says, the Godo Koach Alagima. Great is the Koach of giving, of being Machlas Archim. Kitaisa Ba'agadas Chelek. As he quotes in Chelek in Sanhedrin Kuvav. If you look there, the Gemara is really in Sanhedrin Kuv Gimel on the base. That's where the main Gemara is that discusses this. The Gemara in Sanhedrin Kuv Gimel on the base talks about the Galus of Achrasas Archim. The Gemara there quotes, that the story about Micha. Micha was at the end of Sefer Shoftim. We have the two tragic stories. One of Pesal Micha, when the Jews set up an Avodah Zarah, and many Jews followed it, and afterwards followed by Pilegish Begiva. So by Micha, the Gemara asks that the Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy Micha, and the Malachim, Kadosh Baruch Hu was there, the Malachim wanted Kadosh Baruch Hu to destroy Micha. Why? Because the smoke of the Micha's Avodah Zarah house intermingled with the smoke of the Beis Hamikdash's smoke of the Ketores. That's what the Malachim saw. Va'yashan ma'arach va'ashan pesal micha misarvin zebazeh. Bikshu malachei asharis l'dokfo. Malachei asharis said, get him out of here. What's going on here? Amar lehen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hanichu lo. Leave micha alone. Why? Shepito mitzuyo lo'ovrei drachim. He does hachadas azarachim. Mamish ovei avodah zarah. He's machshel people avodah zarah. No, pito mitzuyo lo'ovrei drachim. And therefore, he has that schus. And therefore, that you have to let him go. The Gemara continues. Great is Achlasus Archim because two mishpachos in Klal Yisrael were distanced because of the lack of Achlasus Archim. The Gemara the pasuk says that Kiseitse ba'amon Moav are not allowed to marry in. Why? Lokidmu eschem alechem of amayim. But they didn't come out with bread and water. They didn't warn Machnas Archim. That's why we're not allowed to marry them. It's Makareves Rechokim. Why is it Makareves Rechokim? By Yisro, Kiran Lova Yochalachem. It's Malemes Anam Neshaim. It quotes all the Gavlios and the wonderful things about Achrasas Archim. But that's this Gemara. That's our Shulchan. That's the Shulchan. Takes the place of the Mizbeach. The Ben Yoyada even says that Shulchan, gonna work it out, is Gematria Yechaper Kimizbeach. Shulchan is Gematria Yechaper Kimizbeach. Do the math. But that's the Ben Yoyada right here says that. I mentioned also a few weeks ago that Charles Shudas, Rabbeinu Bachai, quotes an unbelievable minhag that in the days of old, from the minhag of Tsarfas, was that people were buried, their coffins were made out of their dining room tables. They took their shulchans, Rabbeinu Bachai quotes that in his commentary on the Torah, say for Shmos, that they made their tables, and they took them and they made it into their coffins, because just like we want the kapara, so just like the Gemara says, the Shulchan is Mechaper. We know the ground of Eretz. We try to get as many kaparas as we can at B'Shas HaKvura. Right? That's why there are no coffins in Eretz Yisrael. They don't use Aronos there. In America, it's against the law. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's not. Because why? Because the ground of Eretz Yisrael is Mechaper. And that's why they don't use coffins there. Even though the Rabbanut Paskin by Chayalim, Rachman al-Islan, they all have coffins. Because the Rabbanut Paskin originally, I think Rav... Rav Rashi paskind, I think Rav Gorin, that any chayal who gives his life al kiddush Hashem has an automatic kapara anyway. He doesn't need the kapara of Eretz Yisrael. So that's why he's allowed also in terms of derech eretz. But again, that's why there's no aronos used there. But here, the Gemara says, and Rabbeinu Bachai quotes that they used to make it because to get the mitzvahs of that they did at the shulchan as a kapara. There are also two minhagim that are quoted in Shulchan Aruch based on this line about the connection of kapar, mizbeach and shulchan. The Shulchan Aruch says, where are we? Shulchan Aruch says first in Simin Kuf, where is it? In Simin Kuf Samach Zayin, the Rama quotes, Mikal Mako mitzvah lahavi al kol shulchan melach, kodem sheyivsa. It's a minhag to have salt on the, this is not in Hilchos Shabbos. This is Hilchos Betzias Apas, which means on a weekday too. We just don't eat bread during the week. But Lo Yitzer, we would eat bread during the week. Mikal Mako, mitzvah lahavi akol shulchan melakodim sheyivsa, ki ha-shulchan doma lemizbeach. Because the shulchan is like the mizbeach, viha achilok a carbon, you're eating. How we eat is like a carbon, v'namar akol carbon chatakim melach. As the pasuk says, on all your carbonos you should have melach. V'hu megin min ha-puranus. That's what the Ramah quotes. And the Mishnah Berurah even quotes the Medrash here at Sipkan Lamed Beis. Beautiful medrash. Because Yisrael Yoshvin umamtin and zelazeh achiyichli yedehem behem below mitzvos. He says, imagine you go wash and then you sit in there for 5 minutes doing nothing. Or you sit there for 5 minutes doing nothing. You're waiting for everybody else to wash. You know. There's a kitzur going on there, right? Well, there are no mitzvos. All go like Kaisel. They're sitting at the wash. They're not doing anything. So if you're thinking about Torah, okay. But most of the time we're just waiting. We're getting annoyed that people didn't wash yet. New. Right? So what happens at that time? So says the Mishnah Berurah, Hasatan Mekatrig Aleihem at that time. Ubris Melach Megan Aleihem. But you have the salt on the table, there's Bris Melach, bris of Kaddish, just like salt never goes bad, so too the relationship between us and Klal Yisrael never deteriorates. So that's why one minhag to have salt on the table. And then the other one that I quoted a couple of years ago, Yom Naran time, an amazing thought. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Siman Kuf Pei. Nohagim lachasos hasakin b'shas berchas hamazon. The minhag is to cover up the knife during benching. Some take it off the table. Minhag to cover up the knife. Why is there a minhag to cover up the knife during berchas hamazon? So the Beis Yosef quotes two different reasons. Reason number one relates to us, and that is there's a connection between the Shulchan and the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach is created to be ma'arich, a person's life, to bring kapara to him. That's why the stones weren't allowed to be hewn. The Mizbeach, the stone, the Mizbeach, they weren't allowed to be cut. You just got to get naturally large pieces, whatever, the sizes that you needed. You weren't allowed to use a knife against the Mizbeach. So too, you cover the Mizbeach when you bench. That's the reason number one, that's what connects to us. But reason number two that was fascinating, the second reason the Beis Yosef quotes is from Rabbeinu Simcha. Rabbeinu Simcha says, Lefisha Pam Achas, Pam Echad, Higia Echad, Lebrechas Boni Yerushalayim. One time, there was somebody who was benching, and he got up to Boni Brachwa of Yerushalayim Amein, V'nizkar Churban Abayis, and he remembered, he was so sad about the Churban, V'taka Sakin Bebitno, and he stabbed himself. Al Kain, Nohagu Lesalko B'shasa Bracha. That's why the minhag is, says the Beis Yosef, to take off the knife. So I heard a beautiful thought from Rabbi J.J. Schachter, who was actually giving the first shiur on Sunday. He says, because of one guy in history who couldn't control himself, we forevermore have to take off the cover the knife? So one guy, we're never going to reach that level. It doesn't bother us so much. How many times do we have kavanah during that bracha? So it's not going to bother us. So what's the big deal? We have to, because of this one guy who couldn't control himself, forevermore we have to cover the knife? So he explained, no, the pshat is not just to remember there was this one guy, but to remember there was this one person who was so passionate about Yerushalayim. There was a one person in history that had such feeling and such hargasha for Yerushalayim. That's what we're trying to remember. To try to be inspired by that. To try to instill that in us. That's why we remember that. To cover the knife, because there was once a person who stabbed himself because he was so sad about Yerushalayim. We're not talking about halakhically whether that's okay or not. But either way, but still to remember that there was such a person. That's Rabbeinu Simcha's pshat, second reason why we cover the knife. So we have the salt, we have the covering the knife, and we have the issue of Achnasas Arachim. Yeah. So what about Shabbos? I didn't read that line, but you brought it up. The next five words of the Shulchan Aruch, V'nagu shalola chasosa b'Shabbos v'yantif. The minhag is not to cover it on Shabbos and yantif. Why this is, it's unclear exactly. Maybe, yeah?
The second reason is even less clear.
Right, the second reason is even less clear. Why? Because you have more time to focus on Shabbos.
Not yet. What's the difference?
Right, there's no reason, right? On the first reason, at least.
Maybe you can say Shabbos.
Right, Shabbos is mechaper. But that's what the if you focus on the first reason, yeah?
If you really have Shabbos,
it's like you're in Yerushalayim. It's like Yerushalayim in Rakodesh. Right, okay. So that's right. Shabbos, kol melachtecha nigmara. Right? There's nothing that we need on Shabbos. Right? No bakashas on Shabbos. Right? Everything is done on Shabbos. Okay. One other idea that flows, and then we will continue. There is a question that's asked by some of the Bali Musar, and that is, what's the kapara? What's the kapara when yet you're shulchan? Don't we usually look at a way of tshuva fasting? It's the opposite. Usually when you want to do tshuva, you fast. You think where it says, you want to do tshuva, you want to get kapar, you eat. Which, by the way, I saw in the Magalit Hashaz, I forgot to bring it, the whole idea of a tish comes from this Gemara. A tish, or that, what is a tish? Why didn't the Hasidish Rebbe just give shiurim? We have a dafka tish at the table. Dafka here, the Shulchan is mechaper. The inspiration that takes place at a table, with the achila and to be mekadish the achila, that's dafka where the idea of a tish comes from. You know, in general, why isn't fasting something that we look up to? So there's an important Mishnah Berurah. This Mishnah Berurah, it's even Tav Kuf Ayin Aleph. Tav Kuf Ayin Aleph, Hilchos Tainus. The Mishnah Berurah quotes, the Kosvu Sifrei HaMusar. Mishnah Berurah quotes the Sifrei HaMusar here. I don't know how many times he does that. Di'im Be'emsa Achilaso. Ba'ot, he quotes 2 points. Number one, Di'im Be'emsa Achilaso, he says he shouldn't fast. But, Di'im Be'emsa Achilaso, Ba'ot Shu Mis'ava Lechol. If you're eating and you have a real taiva to eat something else, Moshech Yadam Imanu, you hold yourself back and you have willpower. L'shem, you know, I want to control myself, not just because of your weight, but because of our spiritual level. Zenachshav Gamkein L'sigufu Miskaber Mavanosav. Number one, he says, you don't even need fasting. Even withholding certain foods is called fasting. Like we tell our kids, fast from candy. Right, fast from candy. That's also a level of fasting. But then he quotes, "V'ra'isi kasev b'sefer echad, k'sh'adam rotzel hisnadi b'tainus." Somebody wants to fast, tov yoser shi'kabal tainus min adibur. Better to have a tainus deeper, says the Mishnah Berura. Mimashi ikaba lovin achila. Better to fast from speaking than to fast from eating. Ki mimenu lo yielo nezek lo begufo v'lo mishmaso v'lo yechlesh alidezeh. There's no downside by the fast. You don't get weak by from a tainus deeper. You don't get. It doesn't affect you. Ukein zek kasev agra beigarto. How many times does the Mishnah Berura quote the igaris agra? Right, he quotes just like the Gross, right, wrote in his letter to his family, Shetzarech Adam, quotes a lot of things, interesting things there, but one of them is, Shetzarech Adam liyasar asmo lo betainus v'sigufim, torture yourself, not by fasting, ki im beresen piv, or by putting a muzzle on your mouth, or betayvosav, v'zeho tshuva v'chulus. He quotes here, in some tof kuf ayin aleph, sivkat and beis. That is the Mishnah Berura. Okay, let's go weiter. Says the Gemara, the two dots. Call a kalim shiva. I thought I would have time at the end today. I don't know. Call have the kalim shiva mikdash yeshlem shni and v'chulu two dots. So the Mishnah says all the kalim of the base of mikdash had doubles and triples. And the Gemara ended off by saying all the kalim required tevila except for the mizbechos, because the Rebbe Elazar says they are like karka. They have the status of karka, and the Chacham say because they are plated. Says the Gemara, where do you know that they're like karka? Mizbech ha-nachoshes tichsiv, the pasuk says, the end of Yisro, mizbech adama tasali. That's how you know the outside, large mizbech, is connected to the adama. Mizbech hazav, tichsiv ha-menorav, ha-mizbechos. And it says, the pasuk in Bamidbar, the mizbechos together, iskish mizbechos zelazem. So that's a form of a hekish, where both are referred to in the same word. Period. The Rebbe Elazar says, why? They're like karka, and we just proved where they're referred to like karka. The Chachamim omrim neshe mitzupin. The Chachamim say, no. Why are they tahar? And why do they never need tefillah? Because they're plated. Ask the Gemara, they're plated? Ahadarabba. Give me the mitzupin in matamu. We just had in the previous amud. Mitzupin should be more of a reason to say they're tamei. Not that they're tahar. Just say because they're tamei. That makes it worse. So the Gemara gives two answers. Either aim of achamit tamim neshe mitzupin, either change the gersa. Really, the Chacham say they're tamei because they're mitzupin. V'bayisema, or Rabbanan or Belazar kamri. Or maybe this line is just in the middle of the conversation between the Rabbanan and Belazar. Meaning, my daitech mishum de mitzupin, the Chachamim are saying back to Belazar, why do you think we need a pasik that calls them adama? What's the havamina that we would say that they're tamei? Neshe mitzupin, because they're plated? But miftal batel sibuin gabayu. But the plating is batel to the special material that it's made out of, and the fact that it's called eitz in Yecheskel. So really, that line is not exact parallel to their shita. That phrase is just a phrase that the Chachamim say to Rabbi Elazar, what's your havamina? Is it because it's mitzupin? But then there should be like a dot, dot, dot afterwards. That was just part of the conversation. Period. Okay, last six lines, Agadata of Seder Moed. Amar Rabbi Avahu, Amar Rabbi Elazar. Talmud Chacham, Ein Arshal Gehenim, Sholetas Bahem. A Talmud Chacham, the fire of Gehenim does not affect a Talmud Chacham. Doesn't affect him. Asks the Anaf Yosef, so what does he have to go to Gehenim for? What does it mean? It sounds like from here that it goes on him and it doesn't touch, it doesn't affect him. So what does he have to go there for? So it sounds like maybe the fire of Gehenim, you know, sometimes fire cleanses. Even if it doesn't affect, it cleanses the material. So maybe that's why Dafka goes there even cleanses them somehow. But either way, how do you know that? Kavachomer mi salamandara. Kavachomer from the salamandara. What's the salamandara? Rashi quotes, if you leave a fire burning for 7 years, it's a type of being that'll be created from that 7-year fire. Okay, that's Rashi. Rashi says, Chaya ha nivres min ha'or. Kishabor and eish b'bacham echad sheva shanim. Tamed b'li hefsek. Okay, what does it mean? Not sure exactly. The Tosfos says maybe it just means a type of weasel, a chulda. Right, so maybe Tosfos is more of a natural one. So Kavachomer means salamandra. So what's the Kavachomer? Uma salamandra should told. I don't know. Salamander is orange, so maybe I don't know if it's somehow connected to the to this. Ma salamandra should told us Eishi. If a salamandra which just comes out of fire hasach midama in or sholetes bo, if you smear yourself with its blood, then you will be protected from fire. Talmud Chacham shekal gufanesh. A Talmud Chacham whose whole mahus is fire. His whole being is fire. Dechsev halo ko dvarai ke'esh num Hashem. Alachas kama v'kama. See, if you use a product of fire to protect yourself, you're protected. Surely if you yourself are all fire, surely you will be protected. Amar Reish Lakish. Ein arshel gehenim sholetes b'poshi Yisrael. Reish Lakish says, not only will fire not affect Talmidei Chachamim, fire won't even affect Poshe Yisrael, those who are negligent in Israel. Tosfos says this does not mean what we had in Rosh Hashanah, Poshe Yisrael Begufan, which was a certain type of heretic, somebody who Dafka didn't wear tefillin, somebody who didn't do certain Averis. Tosfos Dibraska Poshe says we're not talking about those. We're just talking about people who generally Poshe Ksas Ka'amar. Those who have Averis, those who have Averis, it says, Tosfos quotes, Avraham Avinu will stand by the door of Gehenim, and he'll check if you have a bris milah, boom, he'll take you out as long as you're not a Poshe Yisrael Begufan. So how do you know that? Says Reish Lakish, Kal Vachomer, Mimizbeach Azav. From a Kal Vachomer, from the Mizbeach HaZahav. That's how you know the fire won't affect them. Uma Mizbeach HaZahav. She'en Ovel Ovidin HaZahav. The Mizbeach HaZahav has a very thin layer of gold on it. Very thin layer of gold. And yet, Kamashanim Eina Arshal at this bow, and yet, the fire that was there every morning and every night. Right? There was Ketores burned on the Mizbeach HaZahav every morning, every afternoon. So it says, if that fire did not do anything to the thin layer of gold, Poshe Yisrael, so Poshe Yisrael, Shemalei Mitzvahs Karimon, every, even the Poshe Yisrael are filled with mitzvahs like a pomegranate is filled with seeds. Tachsiv Kepelach Harimon Rakaseich, as we had out the great Rakaseich, Al Rikonin Shebechah, filled, right, like seeds, Alachas Kama Vakama. So surely there, if the fire of the Mizbeach HaZav doesn't affect its gold layer, so the fire of Gehenim, we have such a thick layer, we're filled with mitzvahs. All those mitzvahs protect us, so therefore surely, we won't be affected. Tosfos here, in the last Tosfos, Dirmasla Sha'ain quotes a Medrash, the Tanhuma. The Medrash Tanhuma, where Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yeshahaya Moshe Tmiya Alze, E. Efshar Shalo Yisari Fa'etz. Moshe Rabbeinu was wondering about the, but this was about the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Right? Is it, what's going on with this man? It's a wooden Mizbeach and that doesn't burn? That's my way. Upper heavenly fire does not destroy. Heavenly fire is not destructive. This is what Tosfos quotes here. He asks the Achronim, some of the Achronim, Rabbi Yonasan Ibish has asked this in Yaris Dvash. Another Achronim, ask it, what's Tosfos doing here? He's quoting a nice Medrash. Tosfos usually has a question and an answer. Every other Tosis is basically a nireh, a pshat. He was just quoting a medrash. Says Rav Yonasan Ibishitz in Drosh Zion, Chelek Beis Drosh Zion. Says Tosis is bothered by something. A question that a number of people ask. And that is, why did the Gemara learn the Kal Vachomer from the Mizbeach HaZahav? If the Mizbeach HaZahav has a fire every morning and every night, and that doesn't affect its thin layer of gold, why didn't the Gemara learn it out from the Mizbeach HaChitzon, that had a constant fire on it. That had a huge fire. All the karbanos were burned on Mizbeach HaChitzon. So why did the Gemara have the Kal Vachomer from there? It says if you're in Ibishes, that's what Tosfos quotes the Medrash for. Because what does the Medrash teach me? The fire on the Mizbeach HaChitzon was a heavenly fire. Right? The H Tamid took it on Mizbeach L'Sichwe. You have to put a little fire, but really it was a fire came down in Hashemayim. So you can't learn anything from there. What are we talking about? The Arshel Gehenim. That's a lower fire. That's not a heavenly fire. That's a destructive fire. So that's why we dafka have to learn it out from the Mizbeach HaZav, even though the fire was less constant there. That's why we have to learn it out from there. There was a discussion in the Achronim if, you know, why are they called Reikonin if they're full of mitzvahs like a Rimon? Right? And if they are full of mitzvahs like a Rimon, they ask it both ways. Why are they called Reikonin? Some say it's the Machshava they're full. Others say that they feel like they're full. Right, which is not such a great thing, but even though they feel like they're full, they don't want to have any more, they're mistopic, but still, they still get the schuyos, even though they're not trying to get more. But these are all different shatim of that. Just one ending thought as we transition, and again, Be'ez Hashem, everybody on Sunday would love to see everybody. I've gotten a number of emails that hopefully they'll be there. It's first call. Fifth floor, 501 on Sunday mornings. 9:30 is the first year. I'm giving the second year, 10:30. Connected to the CM. Just one thought I saw. I was trying to think. I think it was B'Shem the Sifsei Chachamim. So commentary on Maseches Brachas. Baruch Hashem, we've been through over 970 blot of Seder Moed. Seder Moed and I think Brachas also is included. I just got an email from the Aguda yesterday that says, 970 something blot done, 1,000 whatever. Join us. But we've just done Seder Moed. So you just had, first the Ha'ara is amazing. Moed, why is it called Moed and not Moadim? Seder Moadim. Well, the other five Sedarim are in plural. Zrayim, Nashim, Nezikin, Kachim, Taris. Only Moed is singular. Right? Just that point is an amazing Ha'ara. Why isn't it Moadim? The other should be Isha. Right? Bracha. Right? Moed, singular. So I don't remember exactly what he said, but one shot could be was that because all Moadim, I think the Sefer Chabad said, because every Moed is his own unique unit. This Moed is this message and that message. I think he said just the opposite, though, that it's all one. Moed is about being Lifnei Hashem. All Moadim, right? We remember we discussed we've been through Shkalim and Psachim, and we've been through a lot of different holidays. Yom Sukkah, Beitzah, Rosh Hashanah, Tainus Megillah, Moikatan. So a lot of Chalom Moed, regular Yontif. We've been through a lot of Yom Tovim, but it's all one. It's all Moed. It's all Lifnei Hashem. It's all a state of getting closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, appreciating HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and our zchus that we've had about learning about all the Moadim is a real special zchus that we had over the past few years. And as we start the next step in our becoming Lifnei Hashem, you know, the challenging waters of Maseches Yevamos, which again, the beginning is challenging. It gets a little more straightforward as one goes through the Masechta, but it's really something that we should realize our schusin, the amazing chevra that we are able to do. It's tremendous. This is the ultimate connection, chaverim kol Yisrael, and David Hashem, we should just go Michael al Chayol, and we look forward to sharing much more together. Just by the way, everybody has a good Shabbos. I'm giving the daf on Bishram Sunday morning. Just Monday and Tuesday, I'm going to be away. So even though I'm giving Menachem a present, he could also get involved in the beginning of Yevamos. And but Bishram, I'm going to give Sunday morning Bishram before the Siyum. First the Yevamos, and then Chagiga, and then we'll continue. Okay, Mazel Tov.